Call the order of this regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Waynesville, Alaska on April 26, 2016 at 7 p.m. The Pledge of Allegiance will, this evening will be led by Assemblymember David Powell, after which, if you'd all remain standing, you'll be given, for the invocation to be given by Caleb.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I beseech thee, O my God, by all the transcendent glory of thy name, to clothe thy loved ones in the robe of justice and to illumine their beings with the light of trustworthiness. Thou art the one that hath power to do as he pleaseth and who holdeth within his grasp the reins of all things, visible and invisible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have no ceremonial matters this evening. Roll call.
Assemblymember Blake.
Here.
Fasenca.
Here.
Winnie.
Here.
Becker.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
And Mayor Jack.
Here. Item three, amendments to the agenda. Any amendments to the agenda? Item four, conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any item?
I have a conflict on 12B, I believe, but I'll step down.
Okay, yes, I did. 12. Okay, yeah.
I ate one of Mitchell's cookies, so do I have to step down for 12B as well?
Okay. Item five, consent agenda.
I move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk. Items 6A, 7A, 7B, and 7C.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Oval, please.
Assemblymembers Powell.
Yes.
Mitchell.
Yes.
Blake.
Yes.
Fasenca.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
Decker.
Yes.
And Mayor Jack.
Yes. Item eight, Borough Manager's Report.
Other than my written report that I got off late here, the sewer pump, the first one they were working on down at Ramey's, that is complete. They've got the thing out of the road, so people don't have to hump over that thing. They'll be moving that to the other station by the boat ramp there by the power plant. And they figure it'll take a couple weeks or so to do that. And the good news on all this is we have this serious deadline of June 30, so they'll be right on schedule, and we'll have a month and a half after the construction to do all the paperwork and satisfy the grant folks, and so we're happy about that. The Byford cleanup project, as most of you know, that they got to a certain point. There's a lot more material than they thought. The commissioner did appropriate the rest of the money that was needed, another couple million dollars. So I think they're up to about six. And so they are going to, we were kind of suggested to us that whatever we can do to help in this, not money, so don't panic there, but as an example, the Shoemaker Bay parking lot, they wanted to store some vans temporarily there till they're shipped out. So we've granted them permission to do that. They'll be there maybe 10 days, couple weeks. Also, there's an item later, we can talk about that, but to a place actually dispose of some of this on Wrangell Island. And once they mix it with the stuff, it's no longer hazardous. And there's a DEC would plan the how they would do that. But they will, that we'll be trying to put them on the special meeting of May 2nd. And they will be here for that, and they can explain to the assembly how that works, and that it's not any more contaminated with lead. It won't leach out. It won't. But anyway, they're looking at spots on Wrangell Island. So,
Jeff, in advance of that meeting, could we please determine that if they're wrong, and they're never wrong, short of $2 million and a whole bunch of more material, if they were wrong, who is responsible for that liability?
Okay.
Because these people come and speak to us, and I have no way of barking back at them because it's not my area of expertise.
Sure.
And then 20 years down the road, they discover, oops, we didn't do it quite right, and now we got a huge mess on our hands. So I think that's a crucial question. Who lives with the liability?
Okay, fair enough.
I guess the first question that pops into my mind, like Steve says, if they're not wrong, then why have they gone to the expense of shipping any of it out? Why not just decontaminate it all here and put it right back on the spot?
And I think the reason for that initially is they didn't think the volume was near as, I mean, they thought they could do all this within the $4 million. And now it's 50% more than that, so another couple million dollars, and they can cut a bunch of that off if they, you know, if they do it here. Now, they still are shipping some of it off, I believe, but the rest of it is, I would like to do it here, and so.
Well, from what I understand, some of this soil is oil contaminated, and the oil contaminated stuff is what we'll probably mix back. Mm. The lead contaminated stuff is what's going to be shipped out.
Yeah.
So you had all these cars leaking oil and diesel and gas and petroleum products. If you windrow petroleum and mix it with the dirt in the air, it dissipates. So that's not really a serious problem. And that's, if that's what we're dealing with, I think we can facilitate that.
But they can't, they will get something, try to get something to you before the meeting, so whatever they give to us, and then they will be here to answer questions also.
I will have something from them, I believe tomorrow. Or excuse me, not tomorrow, Thursday, for the special meeting. If you'd like, I can get that to you.
And lastly, the Kim and I and Jeff Rooney and some other staff met with the Mounties that are going to have the ceremony on the 10th. And so they flew in today with the headstone for the Mountie that died in roughly 1900. So they're kind of orchestrating the procedures, but we're assisting however we can. And so,
are they here now?
They were here today, but they just come in, left. They sat down with us to go over the thing. They went out to look at the site, and we're going to assist them with all the things they need that we can. And it's a big deal for them, and it is important. And so, like I said, it'll be a neat thing.
Do they expect like us to be present, or I don't quite understand exactly? Is it very private?
It's kind of not private. They're not. They don't. If someone comes, but they're not going to advertise that.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, the assembly, if they want to go. I think they had a spot for Dave to speak. You get 15 seconds to talk.
No, a couple minutes.
Yeah, but they will have. I think they're going to have about 14, 15.
About 14. Yeah, because they're having two plane loads,
but one,
seven each.
A couple of them come in a couple days early.
Right.
So they're going to have 14 to 17 people here. Mm-hmm. They're going to have their equivalent to the Yukon Territory's, our governor, I guess. And then they'll have some people from the Royal Mounties organization, retired people and others. There's actually a couple coming from England, and they're actually going to go up the Stikeen River and the jet boat and kayak down and stuff, but it's a relative of this person. So they will be present at the ceremony also as planned. And the only thing that can throw a wrench in the whole thing is if we have fog or bad weather and they can't get here. So, but we'll try to do everything we can to make their events as successful as possible. And that's about it, unless someone has questions.
Thank you.
Nothing other than what's in my report, just to remind the assembly and the public that on May 9th, it's a Monday, we're going to be having the public hearing and a workshop on the budget. So, and I'll send information out on that, and it's going to be advertised. And then before that is the BOE meeting. And then also to remind the assembly and the public that the assembly meeting for May 10th was canceled. is all I have.
Thank you. Any questions? Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Any assembly member have any reports?
They had the hospital board meeting last week. I attended, and it looks very promising that we'll have a new doctor, permanent doctor in town, so that's kind of good news. And they're having a little bit of trouble with getting paid by Medicaid. Computer systems and the way they have to mark everything is always messed up and never quite in sync. So they're struggling through that, but they're getting through it. And they're continuing to maintain a better amount of cash than they have in the past. Last year they had 23 days, I think, and now they have 33 days. So it's getting better.
I have a couple of things, Mr. Mayor. One, I just wanted to comment on the financial advisor that came to our meeting. There was a couple of things that, first of all, I didn't understand a word he was saying. Everybody else here was following along, but I didn't understand what he was saying. I went back and read through the report, and it appeared to me like he's created a separate Wrangell fund to compare our fund that we have to, which didn't really make much sense to me in terms of that he's pulling unique instruments to compare our money to. And I'd much rather know how Petersburg doing or Craig is doing or another municipality like ours. And by the time he left, I find these guys when they talk, and the same guy for my personal stuff, they don't seem capable of boiling it down into a language that anybody can understand. And I would really like to feel a whole bunch more comfortable about what went on. I was handed that packet, and it was huge, and at the meeting. And I cannot listen to somebody speak and absorb and try to read and follow along and get questions ready for them. So in the future, I'd really appreciate it, and I know probably the guy just dumped it on you guys when he arrived. But in the future, if someone's presenting to the council or to the assembly, I really think it's important that we get the information in advance. Now, as fate would have it, I flew back from Sitka yesterday, and I sat next to Petersburg's financial advisor, who was heading into Petersburg to talk to Petersburg. So I bellowed at him about my beefs with his client and suggested that I would be very interested in knowing how Petersburg's performance on their money has been over the last 5 years. And he said he was more than willing to share that. So I have his info, and I'll drop it by Jeff's office, just because I think it would be good for us to have a better comparative.
Go ahead.
No,
I think just one thing. I think when you compare to other people, you got to be careful that if our ordinances say you can do this and this and this, and their ordinances says you can do something maybe more riskier or whatever, that has a lot to do with it. It depends on how conservative and risky each ordinance is. And ours is reasonably in the conservative side. And so that can make a difference. And obviously in good years, they will outperform us. And in bad years, we'll outperform them because there's higher risk. But so you got to be careful when you compare, you know, different things, because over the years we've had, like 2 years ago, we made 15% on our money. And this last year when the, things were down, not so good. So, but I think over a long period of time, and what they do is they compare to the benchmarks in the industry. So if we are in government securities, the benchmark for government securities is this. We compare against that to see if we are below or above. And usually what they do, if they consistently, the ones that are there, they get different people that do that, and the experts in those fields. And if they continually underperform against the benchmark, they'll fire them, and they will hire another firm that does that kind of thing for that particular kind of stock or bonds or whatever they're doing. So,
well, maybe an opportunity for us to review once we have good information in front
sure.
of us. The second thing is, it's come to my attention that the TSA posted a job at the airport here in town, and there was numerous people from town that applied for that job. And a decision was made outside of the community to not even entertain any of our local applicants. And the applicant was brought out of another community. And these folks never even got a chance to compete. And so I would like us to write a letter to whoever at the TSA and say, that doesn't really bode well for a small community and taking care of folks here. This is a job in Wrangell. They didn't even look to see who we had to offer. So the next time they put a job up, my guess is nobody from here will apply because you don't even get the courtesy of an interview. So I would like to see the Borough Assembly, and I know that you may have the information in terms of who we could send a letter to.
I do. I can't go into a lot of it because of TSA regulations, but in the past we'd always been consulted and we're part of the hiring process. And this time around, we had no idea what was going on. They just hired it, said this is your new person, and go. So I do have the information if the Assembly elects to go ahead and write a letter and voice their concerns, I can tell you who'd send it to.
Okay.
And then the last thing is just on SEPA, that we had an interesting thing take place between the three communities, and that was that the bid that was sent out to complete the Swan Race, and this was a substantial amount of money, the bids ranged from $4 million to $8 million, so there was a very wide spread. With four bidders, two of the bids coming in around $6 million. And we had a engineering firm do up a bid analysis on what we would expect to see in the bid range. And the bid analysis came back at just over $4 million. So we had this low bid, and we awarded the low bid. The irony here is that that firm that did the bid analysis actually bid on it and bid it at $6 million. So, you know, it's a bit of a red flag. We went, posted our information, and the company came back and said, no, after we awarded it to them and all the bids were opened up and they could see the other numbers, they came back and said, no, we want more money. And so we invoked the bond and canceled their bid outright. The board made the decision last week to cancel their bid outright and to pursue the $200,000 bond on it. We went back to the second lowest bidder, negotiated with them, were able to find some efficiencies with the second lowest bidder to help us out. But we have contingency money, but it's definitely going to come in higher. We're up against a weather window right now and trying to get this project completed. But that's going to move forward, but it will definitely have an impact down the road for us. So bring you up to speed on that. That's it for me.
Thank you. Any other assembly member have a report? Okay, next item is, let's see, letters of interest to fill the vacancy on the various city boards, committees, and commissions. Do we have any letters of interest on any of those? Planning and Zoning, Economic Development Committee, Nolan Museum, Civic Center Board. There's vacancies on all three of those. We'll continue advertising. Item 10C, appointment to fill a vacancy on the Wrangell Medical Center Hospital Board on expired term ending October 2016. No letters of interest received for that. This might be a moot question after this meeting, but
I would still continue to advertise until October.
Well, yeah, it's kind of required by ordinance to do so. Next item, is item 11, persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have the opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding the item. We have Arnold K. Backe, he wishes to speak on the harbor subject.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I heard on the radio you had a, earlier before the meeting, and I thought it had to do with the harbor, that the harbor was pushing for rates adjustments. Did that ever get settled?
That's the Port Commission.
That's still in the Port Commission.
Yeah, it's still the Port Commission.
That won't come to us until the Port Commission finalizes.
Yeah, well, I thought that would, earlier, but the radio don't explain what's going on before, what's going on here, so I just assume that. But anyway, I could speak on the harbor rates.
Sure.
Of course, it'll be heard, just being as fishing season's coming up, and I'll probably get out of here. And I do agree, maybe we need to find some monies for the harbor to evolve in redoing and rebuilding the docks. But I got a problem with some stuff that I see the harbor infrastructure is growing so vast and so wild that where's the money going? You know, maybe Mr. J. Bush could light me on some of this stuff. Does all this monies dealing with the port out here in the landfill, dealing with the workshop area out here, does that all go to the port? Or how is that divided up with the city?
You want me to answer?
If you care to.
I think Mr. J. Bush would be the one that would answer that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
The harbor is basically divided into three sections, or the harbor fund. One is the actual harbors, the floats. One is the Marine Center out here, and all the money that comes in from the leases of the Marine Center and from hauling out the boats, that all goes back into that same pot of money to keep those lifts going, to pay the employees, to do other things out there needed for that. So all the money that they raise stays right there. It doesn't go into the harbor float systems or anywhere else. And then the third bunch of money is the dock and the barge ramp out here. And the same thing, all the money that comes for that pays for the employees and repairs and different things for this area out here. So there's three.
How about the tourships?
Tourships, that goes into the dock money. And so the money that they use raises from the tour ships or the barges that come in or anything over here, all that stays for that there to keep the dock up, to pay the employees, to, we're going to be redoing some concrete over here for the barge ramp folks, replacing the barge ramp or things on it. They've got a bunch of expenses on that this coming year for different things out there. But so each one of those things, the money that comes in for them stays in that to promote those and to repair them when they wear out and those kind of things. So the harbors, the money that's accumulated in the harbor stays in the harbor for the maintenance and repair and replacement of just the harbor facilities. So those three sets of money don't commingle, they stay separate. I don't
okay,
think
now we got a raw fish tax. Mm-hmm. How much money does the city take of that?
The all of the raw fish tax this year we brought in, I think it was about $390,000 or so, and all that goes into the harbor, for the floats and all that. And the Port Commission has a formula there that a portion of it can be used for operations and maintenance, and the balance of that money goes into a replacement fund. So when the docks wear out, there's some money there, and we haven't been doing that all that long, but that's how it works. And there's been some money built up. So when we have to replace a harbor, and we're working on Shoemaker, trying to get about half the money from the state, that we'll have the other half. In this case, we haven't been doing it long enough to do that, so we'll probably have to bond some to get some of the money, but we'll have at least half of it and maybe a little bit more in our reserves from the raw fish tax. So.
Okay. That all sounds pretty good. worried about the harbor such as like mine and Reliance and stuff. You know, these harbors been in there for a long, long, long time. You know, sure they're up due for maintenance or be pulled out, but it seems to me that we're taking a burden if you're going to raise the harbor rates. These Inner Harbor, Reliance, and across the bay there are old, and you think they would have paid for themselves by now. And another thing is that we're dealing with old, decrepit harbor docks and facilities in the Inner Harbor, and basically the Wrangell Harbor, I would say, Reliance and everything. But I see a lot of things that aren't done up to code, you know, and for maintenance, like the power, the lights, they got power poles with two little wires coming out of a conduit up on a pipe, and the wind blows and they short out and spark, and they're on steel poles, some of them, you know. And house code is that you gotta nail that wire down so it don't wiggle around, and that's inside your wall right here on this stud. You put a staple, and then you look at all these lights in the harbor, they blow and rub and short out. Now that makes concern with me. So tonight I did something on my own. The harbor master always told me that the ground default on the bottom of the ramp is due to boats that are short now and making electrical problems. So tonight I went down and plugged every boat down the harbor there. And then I go back in the big main box there. The ground fault light is still on. Now the red, does that mean it's good, or does it turn a different color, or what? I have no idea. But during the past experience down there in the harbor, I've seen power lines that are hanging in the water, rubbing up and down the pilings at low tide. Not high tide, they go up and down and chafe the line. And there's been problems down there. The line shorts out and sparks like a welder underneath water, and it didn't blow the breaker up there. So that means concern to me, you know. If we're going to raise my rates, you would think that we don't want our boats through haul fins being eaten out, because I go through a lot of zincs down there and kind of chase this problem down. I just bring you aware you're going to have to vote on this sometime coming up. But like I say, I'm going to go fishing, and now's the time for me to speak up and tell you some of the problems I see down there. And not only my dock, but the other ones inside the harbor here. You know, Grant, they do need fixing or repair. And there's been money put around for this, and I just don't really see the motivation of summer guys they hire that is changing the rotten boards and stuff. And the bulwarks, you know, you got trees growing out of bulwarks. You think the harbor master would at least pull the trees out of the bulwarks and ferns growing out of them, you know. You know, it's just really frustrating on the maintenance and the slipperiness of a fire. You know, you can't go down the dock and run down the dock when you got a fire on a slippery, snotty dock, you know. It's just, somebody's gonna get hurt. And I brought up maybe putting some chemical on it to kill that stuff, or something, and nobody seems to be interested in it. You know, it's like, this letter die and we'll build new, but that's not the way I build my house. And if I was to rent a place, the person next door's got a brand new rental, and I'm paying the same price that they're going to pay for rent, it just mind-boggling, okay? I just thought I'd let you know some of the things that are going on down there. And maybe the other docks. I see all the docks got the red light on, and that says it's a ground default. And I ran my meter, put it in the ground, stuff, and I showed voltage, but I have no idea what's good volts or bad volts. I'm not into that. But anyway, I just thought I'd bring you to light that someday down the road you might want to vote on this. You know, my concerns is that I think some of this big infrastructure money could, 15% could go to helping the docks, because it was all grant money, you know. I'm sure we might have had to buy some concrete out there, but the travel lifts were, you know, a big help to this community. And Julie and Gig were known for setting up this infrastructure to bring all this in, if I remember right. You guys were working hard on the marine development here. If there's extra monies here, I would like to see them go, because it's all concrete, you know, and you might want to build up something out here again. I don't know what you want to do out there, but I do believe that some of these monies could be shifted around to enhance the harbor renewable stuff if there's a lot of extras there, you know. You know, it all started out with the freezer building down here, you know, the blast freezer and all this stuff, and now that's coming offline. You know what I mean? What's going to come offline next? I hear they're not blast freezing over there no more. I hear there's a flay machine for sale. You know, I want to see all that money, if they're going to sell that, go back in the harbor. Or, you know, I think it's all related. You see what I'm getting at, Jeff?
And it will go back into the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But at a really bad price, but I ain't going to get what they paid for it. But anyway, I just thought it'd enlighten you people on you know, where I'm coming from and where our fishermen are coming from. I appreciate Jeff for giving me some knowledge on that, but that's all I got to say.
Well, thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
Item 12, unfinished business. Proposed ordinance, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Greenville, Alaska, amending Chapter 3.32, Medical Center and Long-Term Care Facility Board and Administration of the Wrangell Municipal Code to reduce the number of board members from 9 to 7 and provide for a transition provision to implement this ordinance. This is a second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 916.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Rusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 12B.
At this point, I'll step down.
POA-214-109 for a request from Big Bites Fishing, Mark Mitchell, to construct a facility to moor boats and planes used for commercial activities associated with Big Bites fishing. This was postponed from the April 12th meeting.
Is the motion stand, Mr. Mayor? The motion stands, and nothing needs to be done.
Do you want me to read the pending motion?
If you would, please.
Okay, moved by Blake, seconded by Decker to approve POA 2014109 for a request from Big Bites Fishing, Mark Mitchell, to construct a facility to moor boats and planes used for commercial activities associated with Big Bites Fishing.
Yes.
So I just have a question regarding sort of the process or what's being asked of us. Is it really being asked of us to approve this application, or is just like noticing us that the application's going in, and if we have any problems with it, then we can act? But that's one thing I was unclear about.
Yes, go ahead.
I did not talk to the Corps of Engineers, but Carol did, so she can correct me if I misspeak. But basically, all these come to the city. We've, for years, kind of rubber-stamped them, but there's kind of two questions, I guess. One was, can someone apply for a Corps of Engineers permit if they don't own the land? And the answer to that is the Corps of Engineers doesn't care. They're just looking at the whether or not that use is permissible or whatever. So in that case, that was the one question that we asked. The other question was, I think the Corps of Engineers, you can, I guess, protest something, but it may or may not make any difference with them. So it's kind of a more of a rubber stamp thing. And the last question that we had talked about was the kind of along with this was the mill site property that we're looking at developing or possibly buying and developing. And so we asked the Mall Foster if that they felt that there would be any impact if that went into some private development there, and they didn't feel that it would at all. So that's kind of the information that we have. Did I get all that all right? Okay.
I believe that was our main concern for postponing this, was to see how it was going to affect the 6 Mile Mill property. So,
One more question I have about that, and so how I understand Mall Foster's opinion is that there isn't anything conflicting about what Mr. Mitchell proposes to do to that site and what we have at the 6 Mile Mill site, but I'm wondering if there could potentially in the future be issues sort of in the reverse. So if there was, sort of lodge type, charter activities, and then that site's fully developed into an industrial site, back to being fully active, lights, noise, blah, 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 if that would have negative impacts, on this new business. And so I guess that's my only concern is having some kind of like agreement moving forward that, if this development of like the lodge charter thing happens, it's with the understanding that, this industrial site will be industrial and these types of activities will occur in the future.
And currently it's zoned industrial, so if there's something industrial done there, that's it's how it's zoned, and it's always been used that way. So
kind of the buyer beware.
Yeah, they felt there would be more impact rather than Mark's proposed development. That the city, if we did something, there'd be more impact on him than ever the other way around. And also, there's a creek that runs down there. It's pretty shallow right there now. So just for some reasons like that, they don't feel that there would be any reason for the city to go that direction because of some of these other issues. And I guess lastly, this is kind of the Corps of Engineers permit part of it. Somewhere down the road, the city would make the decision whether to actually lease this. So there's another step to this at some point, so.
We're not, what's before us is whether or not to contest, basically,
right.
The Corps of Engineers permit.
Right, and the Corps of Engineers
it's not
basically
has, you know, approving any land use or anything like that.
And they basically said that this is an acceptable use and they don't have a problem with it, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Mark?
Well, there's two or three questions. And I don't know if you guys have, Mark Mitchell, Sick Mile.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Mark. Mark, I just have a question for you. You do understand that what we're here right now for is just to not to disapprove of your application. Is that correct? Is that right? So all we're doing is approving this, and then down the road, Mark could come back and say, okay, now I want to buy all this property, and we're going to do that again?
Those okay. Thai lands are not sellable. It's only for
lease.
Okay. That's all my question.
We voted on this a year ago, whether to proceed and whether you would lease it to me. The vote was taken before you guys, some of you were on the council, and you voted that you would lease it to me. The problem you have when you file a Corps permit is you don't know what the Corps is going to allow you to do. So I can't, you know, the whole idea of leasing the property before you get your permit, I don't know if they're going to grant me a permit. I don't know what the mitigation is going to be to this permit, and I don't know what the footprint's going to be. I can put any plan I want in front of the Corps, but that doesn't mean they're going to grant me this to build.
Right.
So how can I lease a piece of property from the borough until I know what the footprint is? Until I know how much I have to actually lease? Or whether they'll let me do it at all? If the mitigation is unreasonable, the project is dead. So, as a business sense, I can't go ahead and spend tens of thousands of dollars, which I've already have, but lease some property that you don't know if you're ever going to be allowed to use or not. So this is kind of the purpose of seeing what we can get through with the Corps before we come in and say, all right, here's the survey, here's the footprint, this is what I want. I don't know what they're going to allow me to do.
So then your understanding is that the Borough Assembly has already moved forward and said yes to going in and doing what you want to do.
We already voted on whether they would lease me the property, I believe.
So the process was to classify the tide lands to move forward with the process. So as far as saying yes, we will, or the borough will lease the tide lands to you, for this certain amount, that hasn't happened yet. So that's the final step.
So at that time, was that assembly aware of the plans that we see currently in front of us?
No.
So, okay. So my thought process is that if somebody now, like you were saying, it's already a done deal, I don't really see it that way. Okay. Because now we're seeing some particulars that we thought there was a potential conflict, potential. I think that's why the silver second thought came about.
Well, I might add that by me building the breakwater, I'm actually protecting part of the mill property. So the winter northwest winds hammer that bank on the mill property that is sawdust filled, and it's eroding, and it's eating it out. With my project in, it'll stop the erosion, a good share of it.
Are you going to charge us for that?
Actually, when I build this, it'll enhance the mill property.
I just wanted to understand that because this is sort of a new process to me.
We don't know what the footprint's going to be.
Right.
So we couldn't lease it without knowing what they're going to allow me to do.
And I'm already starting to feel hemmed in out there. Due to sales of property that are going on, that what we started out with when we initially talked about that whole project has been eroded away. Talk about erosion, bite by bite by bite, and so
big bites.
And at some point, I'm going to raise the question as to the absolute value of it for a large-scale project that the city might want to be involved in, or to help encourage other businesses to be involved in. So that's my worry. You know, if we're being told no problem, that it doesn't, they don't see a conflict, then I don't see a conflict.
Well, my question to the assembly is, are you going to bank on something that might be and might come down the road, or are you going to bank on something that's going on right now? You don't know that we're ever going to even end up with a mill property, whether we can buy it, whether we'll ever make the deal, whether we'll ever do anything with it.
But I think it would be nearsighted on our behalf not to look at that.
Well, I brought this up in the beginning just because I knew we were doing the study, and I just thought it was important for the people doing the study understand what development's going on around before they give us a proposal on what we should use that, or what we could use that land for. I don't think anybody's trying to stop anything here. I think we're just trying to do our due diligence, sure, and make sure that the city's covered.
I met with them 2 weeks prior to that, and we walked the site, we looked at it, we talked about it. So they were fully aware of what I was doing before they were coming to the site.
But you weren't here, so ask the question.
And I apologize for that.
Any further questions? Go ahead.
Well, so you heard me speak earlier. I don't see any conflict in what you're doing to that site, but I am concerned that site, if really operating, would possibly hurt a charter business or anything like that. I mean, I'm not sure how fully you intend to develop that, if there's going to be a lodge or blah, blah, blah.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm getting up in age, and I'm not sure how ambitious I am anymore, but I don't know what's going to happen to the property afterwards.
Right.
But it's workable the way it is. The tight lands we're talking about, if you go to the very last page and you look at the aerial picture, mm-hmm, there's a set of pilings, and all of this project is within inside of those pilings, which is very shallow ground. And it's well inside of the point that you have to go, mm-hmm, to get to the mill property. So it's not going to interfere with the cruising lanes or traffic coming in and out. And most of what I'm planning is small boats, so it's easy enough to maneuver around whatever's going on at the mill site.
Well, for instance, if the barges were to move out there and they're loading and unloading in the middle of the night, loud noise, lights, that kind of thing.
Wouldn't be any worse than the sawmill.
But it's not operating right now. But that's what I'm saying, is like, because we've had this lull in activity, even though it's zoned industrial, I'm just concerned about, that's my only concern, is that something that you would develop, then once this hopefully comes back to life, there'd be a conflict. So that's
why. Well, I bought that knowing what I've got, mm-hmm, and knowing what the potential was around me, so I'm not concerned about that.
Okay, if we have that in writing, I'm fine.
Any further questions, comments? Thank you. Anything further?
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Tusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Kyle?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. I'm going to call recess for 5 minutes here at 7:48. Reconvene this meeting at 7:53. Item 13, new business. 13A, approval of an agreement with Mike Allen Jr. for the purpose of harvesting blowdown trees on borough-owned institute property.
Move to approve the borough manager to execute the agreement between the city and borough of Wrangell and Mike Allen for the purpose of harvesting blowdown trees on the borough-owned institute property.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
Are those trees going to be processed locally, or are those just going to be shipped out?
Mike Allen, 742 Evergreen. Most of them will be shipped out. There will be a little bit of it that will be domestic processed here, but we pretty much took all the value trees out last fall when we went in there and did that sale. There is a few that were left because there was only one or two, and I didn't want to make an access road to it because it disturbed, you know, too much for aesthetics. So
So how many trees in, like, what are we talking about in numbers? How much blowdown was there?
A lot. Approximately 6 acres.
6 acres blew down. And this blowdown was right next to where we cut?
Not necessarily. It blew down on the town side of the road really bad, and we only took a couple trees out of there. And then the big flat that blew down going towards out the road was actually a ways away from where we cut. It's funny, the path we took down through there, we left about 100 feet of trees going out the road, and only 3 or 4 of those blew down. But everything 50 feet in the town side of it just blew down for about 300 or 400 feet wide.
Wasn't a lot of this blowdown up there along where mental health had logged?
Well, that's what happened with mental health, opened up a 300-acre area, and it just all blew down.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I had brought up once before, that extremely devalued the what those trees were worth, and I was wondering if there was any recourse that we would have against mental health for that happening.
We've kind of had this conversation with them, and it didn't go well.
I can imagine.
And they basically say they have no liability there. Now, if you, I guess you could always take them to court or something like that, but up front, they will not budge on the issue.
Yes. And the trees that we had from the cut, those were all for local process,
yeah,
right? And they're still here.
Process,
yeah. And is there, I just hate to see us ship trees out in the round when we can, you know, and I, you may have a surplus and you're the man doing the operations. Is there any way, I know there's a couple of other small mills operating, is there any way that we can offer some of those trees up to those guys to keep them going as well? Because if we can make more cuts on that log, that's more work for our town. Is that a possibility? Can you sell them locally, I guess is the question?
I'd rather not comment on the other mill operator.
Okay.
So, as far as I know, he's retired.
Okay, all right. Yeah, and I have no idea. It's not my world. And you still have enough wood there to keep your guys working?
Oh, yeah, plenty.
Okay.
So where are you shipping them to then?
Ketchikan's
going to... But so it's saying in Southeast they're not
right.
Going to go anyplace else.
To what mill in Ketchikan?
No, Ketchikan, they'll get exported overseas.
Oh, okay.
They're going
that's
to Korea.
They're not going to like Prince of Wales for that Viking, whatever the name of that other mill is there.
Any further questions, comments? Thank you. You have a question for him?
Well, not a question for Mike, but I did hike up there and saw the blowdown, and it's actually a beautiful view from there right now. It's a very, very nice piece of property.
Probably pretty clear.
When we were logging that up there, when Jeff walked down there, that would be some prime property if the city ever wanted to offer it up for sale. You have a really good view of the ocean and everything else out there.
So. And there's a row of trees down by the road still, so there's privacy. It's really nice.
Thank you, Mike. Any further questions, comments? Hold on, please.
Assemblymembers Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, approval of a request by Tony Masson, doing business as Masskill Seafoods, to extend the lease lot described as Mill Dock, Lot 2.
Move to approve an extension to existing leased Mill Dock, Lot 2, from 1,800 square feet to 2,440 square feet, and to raise the monthly fee based on the 8 cents per square foot rate.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? I assume this went to the Port Commission.
Mm-hmm. You have a memo in your the agenda item.
So, and I keep bringing stuff up, but. The Port Commission was working on rates, and I keep seeing stuff come through with the same rates. And they said, oh, it's just Jenkins because Jenkins was in there, and we got a grandfather, and now we got another one in front of us with the same rate. Because there's, how are we ever going to raise somebody's rate if we given everybody the same rate.
They're working on it. I've been to two of the meetings, and they're working to get through that. It's going to take some time. As far as this piece of property we're talking about from sea level, they're already using it.
No, say sea level.
This is out on the city dock.
Oh, okay. Wrong piece of property.
We'll come to that in a minute.
Go ahead.
I think what they've been doing is the leases out there, they've been renewing them for one more time, a five-year thing, as they work through this. I've been working on a proposal to standardize those out there, because you've got some people out there paying 8 cents, you got some people paying 27 cents a square foot. Somehow, like our Thailand leases, it's the assessor comes in, assesses it, it's 6% of that, that's what the annual lease is. And do something more like that, where it's based on everybody is playing with the same cards and same rules. But it's difficult, because if you do something where you want to raise the same amount of money that the port was, or the Marine Center was getting, then some people's rates have to come up and some people would have to come down, so you have that conflict. But I've done a fair amount of research with, and also not only the rate, but the length of time, and so, and I'm kind of getting off the subject of the motion, but anyway, Tony is just wants to expand his area out there in the dock, and there's no one else out there, so.
Yeah, this is to expand the lease, not to extend it, so just to make that clear.
Mm-hmm. More square footage.
Right, mm-hmm. So he would be still, his expiration is May 2018.
May 20 what?
2018. Anything further on this question? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Persunka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, approval to schedule a special assembly meeting for May 2nd, 2016.
I move to approve scheduling the special assembly meeting for May 2nd, 2016 at noon for the purpose of approving a contract and an amendment associated with the Wood Street project and the consideration to approve the Spur Road Rock Pit location for disposing remediated soil for the Byford property location.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Oh, yes.
What rock pit?
Yeah.
One of the discussions earlier about finding a site on Wrangell Island, mm-hmm. One of the sites that they have identified as a potential site, and that's what they will come down and talk to you about, is the rock pit. As you go down the Spur Road, it's as you go a ways, you go up the hill, and then right at the top of that first hill, on the left-hand side, there's an old rock pit. There's already some, isn't it some contaminated soil, Carol?
I'm sorry?
On that rock pit, isn't there already?
Yes. Initially there was, and then some of the Front Street project was put there, the overburden from that road, and some other places have been put there.
Okay. But that's the site that they've identified. They asked to put it on the Institute property, and I said that isn't really so, but they're looking for some site that's, if there's already stuff there, it's already non-usable at this point in time, so.
Okay, and my other question is on the stuff that they're talking about getting rid of. Some of the stuff that I've seen them haul out of there, and the stuff, others contaminated, looked pretty good. Okay, so if they're getting ready to get rid of it and stuff, we have things coming up. Can we remove that and use that on something else somewhere else, or that's where it's going to go and that's where it's going to stay forever?
They mix that, is my understanding, they mix that with another product that causes it to be, I'm probably using the wrong word, but inert. It's no longer a contamination factor.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly how that process is according to them. And I think there's still things they are shipping out, but that's the other materials that, and
I'm a terrible one to talk on this because I don't know all the scientific stuff about how all that works, but again, you know, DEC is going to explain all that to us, okay. What they're looking at and why. And
I just want to clarify that this really isn't the time for the discussion of what's going to be in that meeting. This is just the approval to have the meeting.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Very good point. Roll call, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Lake?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D. Approval of City Tidelands annual 5-year reassessments.
Move to approve the 5-year City Tideland reassessments as presented for 2016.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
The one question I have is they have Wrangell Community Services listed. As far as I know, that entity ceased to exist and it became Alaska Island Community Services. So I don't know why they still have a tide lease in a non-functioning entity.
That was, I have it as AICS.
Do you? It's on here. It's listed as summary of the lease values are as follows. Wrangell Community Services.
The AICS.
Yeah. This is
AICS.
10?
No,
10,
yeah.
Okay.
AICS.
But you're seeing it on the actual appraisal.
I am, yeah.
So I can have him change that. I think it's just a technicality. But as far as what I have and... It's, I have it under AICS.
Okay.
So at some point it was transferred from one to the other.
Okay. I'm sure that would be important to them to have their lease in the right name.
Absolutely.
Any further discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Lake?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E. Approval of the request from Fern Phillips of Sea Level Seafoods, LLC, to modify the existing City Tidelands lease.
Move to approve moving forward with the necessary steps of modifying the existing Tidelands lease agreement requested by Fern Phillips of Sea Level Seafoods, LLC, to include an additional unsubdivided portion of ATS 81 adjoining Lot 1 Sea Level Subdivision 2 with the following conditions. A reduced square footage so that the area is at least 15 feet from the entrance to the parking lot, and that the lease only be for the surface storage and parking, not for the construction of a building.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yeah.
I just want to clarify, this is what they're using now anyways,
yes.
Right? I mean, it's been there.
It's a portion of the parking lot, the city-owned parking lot that they're using.
Yeah. So,
but, okay, I just wanted to make sure.
I would have to say that it's just not them that's using it. It's fishermen, it's everybody else.
It's there's stuff stored
yes.
there now.
Mm-hmm.
We're not taking away any part of the parking lot.
And those individuals are paying a rent for storing on there? And
sea level is.
It is not an expansion to what's currently there. Is that correct?
What they're currently have been using is not an expansion of that, I believe. Is that correct, Scott?
No, we didn't. We want to have more of a control over what's there. Fine. An old guy, get up here.
State your name and address.
Sure. Scott Munis with Sea Level Seafoods. Yeah, no, basically we're just wanting to be control of that space. We are already pretty much renting all or in part during the course of the year, and we get stuck in a rock and a hard place with people's gear stuck there. They kind of cut us off. We can't force them to move it because they're paying rents to the harbor. And this way to the harbor departments, so this way we can say, you know, we keep your gear here, but load it. Unload it, but it can't stay, otherwise you don't get your paycheck, you know, your crab check or whatever means we can use to get stuff controlled and move around. And we are continuing to grow every year. I mean, you've seen some of the improvements, but there's a lot of internal stuff going on, and we're doing more and more every year. We brought in 2 housing units last year, we're bringing in 2 more this year. We're hiring much more crew. We're expanding into different fisheries and doing more of those fisheries. And it's just a place to put stuff. I mean, our totem are not in use. And last year we bought, there's 100 totes of bone of one type, let alone we bought another 60 or 80 out of Spain for the crab. So we get into, we've got so much material that is in and out of use that we need a place to put it that's out of our hair, out of the way. So, because a lot of our footprint is covered in the building.
Thank you.
You bet.
Any further questions before?
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Shonka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13F, request for a contract zone for a transportation office, storage, and equipment maintenance area on Lot A and Lot A1A, Torgerson-Pernilla subdivision, zone commercial and single-family residential. Requested by Wrangell Cooperative Association Transportation Manager William Willard, owned by Steve Pernilla.
Move to approve a contract zone from single family residential to light industrial for a transportation office maintenance area and warehouse facility on Lot A and Lot A1A, Torgerson-Pernilla subdivision, zone commercial and single family residential, requested by Wrangell Cooperative Association. Potential buyers of said property, once the sale is finalized, with the following conditions. One, approval of the site plan shall, approval of the site plan should the final design differ from the schematic presented, and two, 25-foot minimum greenbelt buffers to adjacent properties, and three, lighting that will not affect adjacent properties.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
I wonder if we could have Carol maybe just kind of give us a short summary of this process, for partly for the public. And
would you please do that?
Carol Rushmore, 6 miles in Maviat. The process? Okay. The property that they're proposing to use to have the office and the maintenance warehouse on is part, the office area is located on commercial, and the rest of the two lots are zoned as single family residential. So what they're proposing to do is not allowed in that district. So they have come forward with a request for a contract zone, which is basically sort of spot zoning, changing the zoning from that single family to the light industrial use that it is for the term of their proposed project. Should they cease to use that or they don't build on there, it reverts back to the single family district that it once was, or the commercial district that it once was. So there's been a public hearing for the Planning and Zoning Commission. They made a recommendation to the Assembly to approve the request of Wrangell Cooperative Association. You all now have had the hearing and make the decision on whether you permit the use in that area or not. Thank you.
Yeah, and then this is somewhat similar to what we did with the old Salvation Army building, correct? We did a contract.
You did a contract zone there from a commercial to a residential, correct? And actually, kind
of the other direction, sort of.
Yes, and actually we did this before with Wrangell Cooperative on a piece of property just a few hundred yards down the road, but now they're looking at a different piece, so it's the same thing. Okay.
Are they going to use the other ones?
Any further discussion?
Oh, okay. I thought it was down the road.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file. We have none. Executive session, there is none. Item 16 is adjournment at 8:13 p.m.